Thessalonians, chapter number 2, and we're going to look here again at these verses. I don't know about you, but this is a pretty rich portion of Scripture. And as we read through here, there's so much going on, and it's interesting, you know, where they're going in the sixth semester, rather, of Faith Bible Institute, talking about prophecy, talking about Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah. And then what's going on here in 2 Thessalonians is going to match pretty much what's going to be studied, and maybe even in some more detail this coming year. But I hope the study's been helpful to you. And by the way, if you've not been keeping up with the news, look, I'm not, as one writer I read after said this, Paul was not concerned about prophecy from a sensational point of view. He was concerned about it from a pastoral point of view. And that's how it is with me. I really couldn't care less about the news headlines, really, when it comes to things that are going on. But as we saw in Sunday school this morning, Genesis chapter 16 and verse number 12 tells us that Ishmael is going to be a wild man. His hand's going to be against every man. Every man's hand is going to be against him, and he's going to dwell among his brethren. And when you look at what's going on in the Middle East right now, you see Ishmael is a wild man. Ishmael's descendants are the Arabs, most of whom hold to the Islamic faith. Well, he's a wild man. You have to be a wild man to strap a bomb onto you and to go into a crowd of people and detonate the bomb. He's a wild man. Why would you just, you know, shoot rockets into Israel just for the fun of it? Yeah, if we're live streaming, I'm sure Facebook will nail this one. Amen. Well, yeah, amen. It is right. It's exactly right. It's right. By the way, our church, we stand with Israel. We stand with the nation of Israel. And but the promise still holds true. I will bless them that bless thee. Watch this. And curse him that curseth thee. Anybody who is hand against the nation of Israel, God will curse them. And it very well could be with the current administration we have leading our country, or in the leadership position of our country, let me say it that way, that the long-standing friendship between the United States and Israel will start to wane, because you do not see the United States figured in Bible prophecy. It sounds really sad to think that the once great United States would come to the point where God would curse them because of their turning their back and betrayal, if you will, of the nation of Israel, but it very well could happen. So just be aware. Now, I'm not telling you that the Lord's coming back in 60 seconds because of what's going on in the Middle East, but just like that, he could come back and it'd all be over. Right. Amen. All be over with. It's done. And if you're left behind, well, I'm going to tell you about it this morning. If you are left behind, you will not have a chance to be saved. Let me say that again. If you're left behind, there is no King James Bible reason you can give me where you'd be saved after the rapture takes place. Jesus is coming. He's coming. You know why he's coming? Because he said he was coming. Say, you preach it, you say that every time. You know why I say it every time? Because it's true. Amen. Why is Jesus coming? If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's what he said. Excuse me. So, let's go back. Excuse me. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at verse number 3. We're going to read from verse number 3 to verse number 12. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Verse 3 to verse 12. Amen. Bible says here, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until it be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading this morning. Lord, we know the days are coming. The time is drawing nigh, Lord, for the coming of our Lord. We're not because of what we necessarily see on the news, but Lord, you did tell us that, Lord, we can see the clouds coming in. You told the Pharisees that if they can discern the signs, the times, the sky even, why in the world could they not see your first coming? And Lord, as we move toward the days where we get close to the second coming, Lord, we see the ramped up persecution, absolute disavowal of anything that is righteous and holy and just and good. And Lord, the making common of sin and the acceptance of sin. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just help us to this day, Lord, as we look in the Word, and I pray that you'd be glorified, and we pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts this morning, and we'll thank and praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to look here this morning at just having courage in the last days. Having courage in the last days. Having courage before the Lord returns. And as we've read this section before, I hope the reading does not get boring to you. And I hope that by the end of the time that we've read these verses so much, that if somebody came in here and preached on the same subject, as they began to read the text, the words would come back in your mind. And that you would already have the scripture memorized because you've heard it read so much. Paul has been talking to these dear Thessalonian believers and has tried to encourage them that they are not living in the 70th week of Daniel. They are not living in the time when the Lord is coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. They're not living in that time. And Paul gives them some markers to know when that's going to happen. We're going to look at some of that this morning here. But as we begin to look at this section, we need to remember in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you." Remember that deception is the hallmark of the last days. Remember that. Remember that as the Lord begins His Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, that the last days are going to be marked by a deceptive spirit. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we get down here into our text. But before we do that, I want to look here at verse number 5. And as we've already looked at the person of the Antichrist, we've already looked at who he is. We've spent a little bit of time talking about what he does and how that verse number 7's told us that the mystery of iniquity does already work. And that the devil has probably had a man in line just in case the Lord would take the church out. But as we've looked at those verses, I'm going to go to verse number 5. What's that very first word in verse number 5? Remember. Remember. It's one of the things that the preacher wants you to do is to remember. What were the last words of Jesus to the disciples in the upper room when he instituted the Lord's Supper? Do this in of me. The Lord wants us to remember. Too often we are a forgetful people. Brother Hardy, ever so often, I believe it is, sings that song, remind me, dear Lord. We need to remember where the Lord's brought us from. We need to remember the pit from which we've been taken out, the rock from which we've been digging. Know where God's brought us from. Don't glorify the sinful life. But thank God for the grace of God that reached down and pulled us while we were in our sin, out of our sin, and saved us, put us into the family of God. I say praise the Lord for that. Amen. But I want to say this morning that Paul is talking about remember. Look at the rest of the verse. You not that when I was with you, I told you these things. The first thing that I want us to look at is Paul tells these folks to remember.
When Paul was with the church at Thessalonica, he was only there for a short time, 3 Sabbath days. And yet as Paul was there preaching, not just on the Sabbath days in the synagogue, but outside in the marketplace talking to people, maybe going from house to house as he did in Ephesus, that he was very, very specific in some things that he taught. And what I see is that when it comes to the second coming of Christ, that number one, he was constant in his reminding of the people that the Lord was going to return. He continually reminded them of what was going to take place in the last days. And this was a constituent part of Paul's ministry, the second coming. At one point in time, 50 years ago, you could hear a sermon on the second coming of Christ on a regular basis. Now, it doesn't seem to be that way. But remember, it is a glorious doctrine. We look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are so grateful that God's given us a blessed hope. Well, we've got to remember that this is a message that Paul preached on a regular basis. And from what I've gathered, when he says, "Remember not that I was with you, I told you these things." And the tenses here, when Paul said, "I told you," he didn't say, "I told you one time and that was it." But Paul told them again and again and again when he was with them. It's something that we need to have constant reminding. We hear this all the time, that repetition is the mother of learning. And that's why we repeat things so folks can remember. Paul employed that wonderful opportunity and tool of learning, but to tell these folks all the time that Jesus was coming and how it was going to look. So, number one, we need to remember what we've been told. And that's what Paul's doing here with these folks here. But I want you to come down here in verse number 6. And I want to look at the restrainer. We're going to take a little bit of time and look at the restrainer, if we can. Man alive, I can't stand it when I'm choking to death. It had to be an unsaved person who invented the necktie. God help. I'm telling you. Amen. Amen. Help, Lord. Turning around backward, it's just a noose waiting to happen. I'm telling you. Lord, help us. Look at verse number 6. I want to look at the restrainer for a minute. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. A couple of words I want you to see is that word withholdeth. That word withholdeth carries with it the idea of restraining. As does the word down in verse number 7 where it says, only now he who let will let. The old English word there means to hinder there. So there is a force that is restraining the unleashing of evil on this world. Believe it or not, there is a force out there restraining everything. And it's interesting that there are a lot of people who have tried to figure out what this restraint is. Now, by the way, let's stop and think about this for a moment. You say, "Oh, I'm just not sure there's any restraint at all and that the devil's not running rampant." Let me go and remind you, an old Puritan writer said, I believe it said this one time, that the devil is God's devil because he operates in God's world. Amen. There's a lot of theology I don't understand about that. But then again, I'm not God. Neither are you. So let's remember that. But as I remember reading the book of Job, that God says to the devil, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And the devil says, "If you take away everything he has, he'll curse you to his face." And God says, "You know, it's all in your hands, just don't take his life." And the devil goes in and wreaks havoc on Job's flocks and his family, his finances. And then later on, he not only does that, he comes back and talks to God, and God says, "You know, he didn't curse you to face." And so the devil says, "Well, if you take his life, if you make him miserable, he'll do it." And he said, "Well, just, you know, do what you want, but you can't take his life." And of course, we have the entire book of Job because of that. What's interesting is this. The devil in Job's life could go all the way up so far, then God said no. God restrained the devil. Now I want to remind us here, there are a lot of folks here who would think the devil's running rampant, but honey, you ain't seen anything yet. We think that it's bad now. We think that it's wicked now. What we are seeing are the the beginnings of sorrows, to use a biblical expression. When the Sodomites who one time were in the closet are coming out of the woodwork. Now you go back and read ancient history, everybody was a Sodomite, everybody was a lesbian, everybody was a whack job, for lack of a better term. Let me go and tell you, not every great man in history was a Sodomite. Not every great woman in history was a lesbian. Not every great person in history lived a debauched life. Yes, a lot of them did, but not every one of them did. So let's just stop for a minute and publicly buck against the rewriting of history and saying that the historical records that we have are trustworthy. Let's stop trying to frame history in our mindset by the new folks who are coming along thinking that everybody was a Sodomite, and we're going to figure out how the Sodomites contributed to society. I'll tell you how the Sodomites contributed to society: wickedness, debauchery, disease, death, depression, wickedness, ungodliness. Would you like me to go on? That's how they have contributed to society. Amen, friend. Amen. Amen. Won't be long till we'll have to go to sermon audio because Facebook won't let this stuff on here. Amen. That's about right. Amen. Now, I said all that to say this, that the devil, if he could right now, would run rampant. If the devil could, he would, but he's not doing it right now. So what in the world's holding him back? Here's what a lot of people have said. Some people have said, well, it could be that the church and the church's influence is holding the devil back right now. Well, what about before the church was here? Who was holding the devil back then? God had a nation. Yes, God has the church. And there's no doubt that the church does some good moral good. Amen. Whenever we tried to get the land this year for the tent, which we have acquired now, according to Brother Morris, we've got the land for the tent not too far away from Shalem. Whenever they inquired and said, why in the world would you want to have a tent meeting here? He said, well, if we get a lot of people saved in this area, then the crime rate would go down. You'd have husbands loving their wives. You'd have sons coming home, daughters doing what they're supposed to do. You'd have citizens who were good citizens in the community. So that's what's happening. We're just trying to make your job easier. One night I was in our hometown, I was handing out tracts out in the middle of town, and I had a police officer stop me and said, what in the world are you doing? You have a permit for that. I said, sir, I'm just trying to make your job easier. Amen. So as the church does good, we thank the Lord for that. But it's not the church that's restraining evil. It's not the church. Some people say, well, what about the preaching of the gospel? The gospel's gone out and we've done a lot of good. Same thing, the gospel's gone out, and I say thank God for that. But the preaching of the gospel is not restraining evil in and of itself. Some folks say, well, what about the general morality that's in society? We've passed laws and people are following laws. Really? People are following laws. That's why we just need one more law on the books for gun control, because one more law is going to make the criminal obey that law. Yeah. Don't do it right now. Don't do it right now. But just put a little note in your mind. Go on YouTube. Just go on YouTube. In about 5-6 minutes, watch the video on the three little pigs learn about gun control. Just watch it. Don't do it now. And if you think about that the entire service, I'm going to preach against you, okay? But you watch it. Go out and watch it. It's family friendly and you'll enjoy it. I mean, it's great. Amen. But here's the thing. What's holding back? What is restraining the devil from doing what he is doing? Now, I want you to look here in these verses. It says, and let's see here. You know that what, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. The he is talking to the Antichrist. But look at this, and now you know what withholdeth. There is the word what. That is a not masculine, it's not feminine. It's what we call a neuter. It doesn't have a gender. Just like the pulpit doesn't have a gender, and You know, the microphone doesn't. I know some languages have grammatical gender, but there's no gender right there. That is a neuter pronoun. What withholdeth in his time? But I want you to look at the next verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. We go from a neuter to a he. See, why is that important? Friend, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that it's not so much a what that was strange unless we're talking about something in as substantive as in like the force that is restraining. But that force belongs to a person. Who could in the world would that person be? Who could that be? Friend, let's go back to our book of Job. Whenever the devil was given free rein in Job's life, it was God who drew the line that he could not cross. I want to simply say this, friend. I'll tell you exactly who is restraining all evil in the world right now. It is a divine power right now. I will simply say this. If it were not for the power of God, the church would have no power. The gospel would have no power. Christians would have no power. And the devil would be able to run rampant. But thank God that God is in the world. God is making His presence known, not just in His church, but by the power that is withholding everything that's going on right now. But the Bible here tells us that the one who is letting, the one who is hindering, the one who's holding back the reins, he's going to continue to do that until he's taken out of the way. Now, let's stop for a minute here. We have the restrainer, but we're going to see not just the restrainer, but we're going to see the removal of his hand. Notice the way that I worded that. Who is the restrainer? Who is the restrainer? We know the Father is in heaven. We know the Son's on the right hand of God. And we also know that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But who is the agent who is brought into the world to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? That's the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. That's exactly right. The one who is the He in verse number 7 is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one who restrains. He is the one who withholds. But I want you to notice this. The Bible says, till he be taken out of the way. Now, I want you to listen very carefully what I'm about to say. Whenever we read this, typically, we think about the church. When the church is taken out, the Holy Spirit goes with the church. But I want to remind us that God is omnipresent. Can God not be anywhere? Think about that for a minute. Well, I'll say, well, preacher, well, Jesus is a man and he's not everywhere. Read John 3, where he uses the phrase, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Well, he wasn't in heaven. He was on earth talking to Nicodemus. Man, Jesus was claiming deity in John 3 because God's omnipresent. Say, preacher, well, God's not in hell. Let me remind you that folks in hell are not simply separated from God. They are completely and totally exposed to the wrath of God for all of eternity. No, here's what I want us to see. The hand that restrains, that holds the dam from bursting and going forth, that hand is pulled back. And then when the hand is pulled back and the dam busts, the floodgates of sin, of wickedness and unrighteousness come down once that hand is of restraint is removed. Later on, we're going to find out where the servants of God are sealed. The 144,000 are sealed. Who always did the sealing in the Old Testament? Who did that? What we're going to see is the Holy Spirit will once again go back to the ministry He had in the Old Testament where He would come onto certain people, but He would withdraw from certain folks. The Spirit of God came on Samson. The Spirit of God came on Saul. The Spirit of God came on David. That will be the way the Spirit of God will operate when He once again deals with the Jew during the tribulation period. So let's be very careful and say the Holy Spirit's taken out of the world. His restraining influence is taken out of the world because the Jew would have no ability whatsoever to be sealed and to preach and to have any type of success except the Spirit of God empower them to do such a thing. Go ahead and say amen, my friend. That's right. You know what's right. The amen's kind of died down, but it's still right. Amen. Amen. And usually when I say that, everybody kind of chimes back in. Not everybody chimes back in, but it's still right whether you chime in or not. Amen. So there's going to be a removal. There's going to be a removal. And so when the wickedness comes in full force, it's going to be because the Spirit of God is not there. to hold the wickedness at bay. Human trafficking will go to an entire new level. Drug trafficking, and by the way, can I just simply say this? This has nothing to do with the message. And I got to be very careful how I say stuff because I don't like giving an opinion from the pulpit because it's a personal thing. But it would bless my heart if our elected officials would make it a capital crime to be involved in human trafficking. Amen. And in case you don't know what that means the death penalty. Hang them high. Amen. I'm like David Epps. Don't have an electric chair, have an electric couch, execute them five at a time. Praise God. Amen. Brother David Epps said I had a tender moment right there. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Tender moment for folks who are victims. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out. But human trafficking will go to an all-time high. Drug trafficking will go to an all-time high. Crime will run so rampant that Al Capone will look like a Sunday school boy. One time I was teaching the class, and I mentioned something about Al Capone. I mentioned the gangsters, and I had the kids laugh at me. You mean gangsta? I said, no, the gangster. The boys who would take your boys and mop the floor with them in like 10 seconds, and not even bat an eye. Yeah, yeah, amen. Crime is going to get so bad. Wickedness is going to get so bad. No doubt AIDS, sexually transmitted diseases will go on the rise. Sodomites will be in every office in the land. Sodomites will put down any type of voice against their lifestyle. Everything is going to be where wickedness is extolled. They will call evil good and good evil. Because that's where we're at right now. Because here's what's going to happen. When the restrainer is taken out of the way, here's what's going to happen. Verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed. Paul says, I want you to remember what I preached to you. He talks about the restrainer. Then he talks about the removal of the hand of the restrainer. And then he says, then shall that wicked be revealed. Then we'll have the revelation of the Antichrist. Now, before we move into this just a moment, I want us to look back at verse number 7. The Bible says this, for the mystery of iniquity, Paul says, doth already work. In Paul's day, the mystery of iniquity was already working. The spirit of Antichrist was already here. And honey, let me go and remind you that when you turn on the news media, you are seeing the spirit of Antichrist at work. If a preacher, so-called preacher, commits a crime, whose name is plastered all over the news? The church's is, the preacher's name, to bring a reproach on Christ. I'm not going to call names, though it's public record, but there was a church east of us we fellowship with, and the pastor was accused of child molestation. The man went into debt. The man has nothing at all right now financially, from what I gather, because of trying to do everything he could to fight against to keep his good name. The state brought case after case and count after count against this man. And the jury, when they finally went into trial, the jury was out for 10 minutes and made a decision. The state had no case. They brought false charges against the man, and he was acquitted on all charges. But you don't hear that, we're sorry, we made a mistake. No, because we have to make sure that Christ looks bad, the church looks bad, because we don't want anybody to be associated with Christ or the church. Friend, the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. The spirit of Antichrist is on television right now. I have a word of knowledge. Somebody out there has got a toothache. Well, you dumb moron, of course people got toothaches out there. Somebody's got a headache. I know I got a headache because I've been watching Fox News and CNN. Of course I got a headache. Amen. What do you think? That is the spirit of Antichrist. Preacher, I know you may know those preachers. I'm telling you, they're all false prophets. I'm not backing down. I'm not changing my mind. There's not a... Anybody who's watching this can change my mind. False prophets. The spirit of Antichrist. Here's what they're doing. Whenever Jim and Tammy Baker would get on there, and talk about all what they were doing at Heritage USA. I saw a little documentary here. I don't know. Well, it was back during 2020 when the girls were, everybody was down in Tennessee, and I was bored out of my mind and sometimes, and I just turned on the documentary that night and watched it. And one fellow said, he said, I still have my passes to Heritage USA, but I can't use them anymore because the place is closed down. Getting on there and begging for money. Talking about miracles. Talk about sowing your seed. Friend, that's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. The mystery of iniquity, listen to me, doth already work. Right now, when you turn on the television, when you read the newspaper, it's amazing. I mean, already, I just pulled open, I saw it this morning, I don't even think that I opened it up on the news story, but as I pulled it down, see if I can find it here, if I can. Yeah, USA Today, I'll call their name. Here's the headline. Body cams haven't lived up to promises of exposing police misconduct. One reason the police decide what to release. Why are we trying to pick at the force, if you will? I know not all policemen are good. I know not all policemen are right. But I do know that the Bible tells us that we are to honor those and to submit to the authorities there. And I'm going to tell you, the reason that criminals get shot whenever police arrest them is probably because they're resisting and trying to hurt the officer. You've got to be dumber than a box of rocks, have the IQ of a speed bump, and have the mentality of a gnat who's out flying around somewhere because you think, well, they resisted and they used excessive force. Won't you grow up, face reality, get out of that stupid mentality of the victim has rights, and realize that the people in my family, my community, my church, we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and thank God for somebody who tries to put the restraint on those who don't want that. But friend, listen, that news story right there is part of the spirit of Antichrist. You mark her down. You mark it down, friend. Hello, Facebook. Yes. Mark her down, friend. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of anarchy. It's the spirit of throwing off the shackles and being free. Look, I want to be a free man. I want to be a free man. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're in certain parts of the country. If you collect rainwater, you can go to jail. Land of the free and home of the brave. I own my property. Well, you think you do until you go to put a garage in. You realize you can't do it because the city says you can't do it this way. Our church in Tennessee went to add on, add a third row of pews on, and the people said, the zoning committee, why do you want to do it this way? Because we want to. Maybe because we own it. Maybe because it's America, and we'd like to do it this way. Did you ever think of that? My lands. It's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Thank you very much. I know that. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. But watch this. The Antichrist is going to be revealed, watch this, in his time. There is a time. The devil doesn't know when it is. The church doesn't know when it is. Christians do not know when it is, when the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And when the Antichrist is revealed, it will be hell on earth. So how long will that last, preacher? According to Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 6, 1,260 days. Revelation 13, 5, 42 months. Those time periods are the same. That is the same 3.5 years talked about by Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27. The Antichrist will rule during that time. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period is going to be a time of wonder and joy because sin. Some people say, well, preacher, the church is going to go out in the mid part of the tribulation because things don't get bad. Let me go and tell you something, friend. When sin is at its all-time high, when the sodomites are running everything and the commiecrats are running everything and everybody is out there extolling the virtues of anarchy and unrighteousness and ungodliness, That's not the place of the church. And it's getting bad right now, friend. But I want to tell you, the last part of the 3.5 years of the tribulation period, that 1,203 score days, that 1,260 days, that 42 months, that is going to be the time when the devil is going to have absolute free reign. Whenever he comes in and his man, the Antichrist, has his, if you'll let me say it this way, his 3.5 year ministry. But his ministry is not going to be one of healing. His ministry is going to be one of destruction. It's going to be one of exalting himself against God. Now, we've talked about his revealing. Let's talk just for a minute, and this is my last point, about God's retribution. I want you to look with me here. Verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means. I understand it's talking about the timing of the coming. Which, by the way, that's part of the spirit of Antichrist as well. Let me just go and say this too. By the way, do not want anything... Anything that has to do with the Seventh-day Adventists, stay away from it. They preach that you and I are going to go through the tribulation period. Yeah, they preach that. I saw a video online here a while back, and it just watched the preview, and you could tell it was Seventh-day Adventist doctrine all through that. No, we're not going through the tribulation. So I just want to warn you about that. But I want you to look at verse number 10, or verse number 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, watch this, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that believe not. Now, I want you to, or them that perish. I want to talk about the retribution just for a minute. I'm going to finish up with this. Give me just a couple more minutes. What are the last days going to be like? What are the last days going to be like? We know the tribulation is going to be a terrible time of death, destruction, misery, woe. One woe is past, another comes. We heard about the bowl judgments, the vial judgment, the trumpet judgment. We heard all about those going to be in Revelation. We hear about that. But I'm reminded that the last days are days of deception. We're not going to turn, but I believe it's Matthew 24. It's like verse 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. When the disciples ask Jesus about, tell us when these things be, what should be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world. The first thing Jesus says is, take heed that what? No man deceive you. Okay. But what's the next verse? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. You know what the world's looking for? The world's looking for a Messiah. They're looking for one man to come in and solve the problems of the world. What's the deception going to look like? Let's look just for a minute in verse number 9. The person, the Antichrist who's coming in, his power is after the working of Satan. What did Satan do? When the woman saw that the tree was good for food? Yeah. Pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. What did the devil do? Remember, he questioned the Word of God. He contradicted the Word of God. He called God's character into question. Remember that? Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The serpent said to the woman, yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yeah. So what does Satan do? Satan gets into the mind. He causes you to think differently about God, to change what God has said. That's why people say, well, the Lord really didn't kill the people in Sodom because of their sodomy. He really rained fire out of heaven because they were inhospitable. I mean, really. You hear things like that when people try to redefine evil. But here's what Satan does. Satan gives this Antichrist power with all power, signs, and lying wonders. After the working of Satan, that word working of Satan, that's where we get our word for energy from, if that gives you any idea. It is an active working against God and against everything that He does. The word power here, the word power, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It's a different word, but carries with it the same idea. What we see here is that power is from where we get the word for dynamo or dynamite. It's that same word. Same word that Alfred Nobel used to coin the name for dynamite because of its power. That's the type of power we're talking about here. Satan has got power. Now, granted, Jesus said all power is given in heaven and earth, so any power that Satan gives is all his until the restraining hand of the Spirit of God is taken off, and then the devil has free reign then. Here's anything. Power, signs, lying, and wonders. Let's talk about that for a minute. What's the power? Power refers to the acts. Now, I want you to get this because this is important. If you're writing anything down, get this down. Power refers to the acts that are done, the miracles that are out there. The ability to accomplish something. That's what the devil has given the power to the Antichrist. Power has to do with the acts that are worked. The signs, watch this, don't point to the miracles. The signs point to the one working the miracles. The Jews said, show us a sign. By what sign do you do these things? The disciples said, show us a sign from the Father. You know, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Show us a sign. Show us something. The signs point to the one working the sign as the miracle worker. So here's what's happening. You're getting acts and miracles. The signs are pointing to the one doing the miracles. The word lying wonder in verse number 9. You've heard people called, you know, pseudo people. Pseudonym, false name, writing name. The word for lying here is the same word we get for someone who is a pseudo person, a false person. The Antichrist is mimicking the ministry of Jesus. Power, he does miracles. Signs, they point to himself. Lying wonders. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Is it any wonder that the Antichrist... You see, this is kind of anticlimactic. Paul's already said in verse number 4 that the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. But he tells us afterwards in verse number 9 and 10 how he does that. Satan empowers him to do miracles. Jesus said the miracles are so convincing that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. I wonder what kind of miracles Satan would do. We could speculate on all kinds of things that he could do. But we do know in Revelation 13 that the beast will have a deadly wound and will be healed. He will fake the resurrection. Because here's why I've called this the retribution to go along with my outline. Look at the next verse up there. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe what? A lie. They're believing the lying wonders. God is allowing the devil to do that they all might be damned. Watch this. Because they believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There are some folks... they want nothing to do with righteousness. Tell you what, friend, I'm marking this down. I'm going on public record saying it again for the umpteenth time. The greatest thing to me about heaven, outside of Jesus Christ, outside of seeing my friends and family and loved ones there who are saved, will be the absolute absence of sin in that place. My mind will not think of sin. My mind will not desire sin. Hey, man, friend, that's right. There'll be no temptation there, nothing wrong there. What a blessing that is. Thank God that one day that's going to come where not even a bad thought will cross our mind. We won't have to swat it out of our mind because the Prince of Peace will rule, the devil will be gone, and he will wipe all tears away from our eyes. One thing that causes tears in the eyes of believers is that sin that keeps coming back and bothering and bothering. It'll be gone forever. Hallelujah. But I want to remind us that it's not going to be that way in the tribulation, and because they receive not the love of the truth, they would not believe that, God will send them strong delusion and believe a lie. Listen to me. So, someone says, well, preacher, if the rapture takes place, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get on my knees and I'll get saved. Nope, you will not. You will not. The Bible's already got you down. Watch me. Listen to me. I'm going to be Sammy Allen for a minute. I'm going to be a fortune teller. And I'm going to tell your fortune. You ready? I'm going to tell your fortune. Hey, man. Brother Sammy Allen preached a message on fortune telling out of Ephesians chapter number 2. Amen. He said, I can tell your fortune. He said, if your life is like the first couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, your fortunes, you're going to hell. Amen. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. For by grace you're saved through faith. Not of yourselves, but of the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. He said, if those verses apply to you, your fortune, he said, you're going to heaven. I'm predicting your future. Here, listen to me. If you are here, the rapture takes place, you are left behind, you will believe a lie. You'll come to the church. Somebody will come in. They'll have a new pastor. They'll have a new church members. And I would hate to think that anybody in this building would be here. But some folks would be willing just to come right on back in because nothing's changed. You will believe a lie. You'll believe everything that preacher says. And when there's a one world church and the devil's preacher is preaching, and whether he's on screen or whether he's up here in person telling you to believe the Antichrist, just like we're preaching Jesus Christ, he'll be preaching the Antichrist, you'll believe a lie. Follow him. When you receive his mark, that'll be your way of salvation. That will seal your doom. You will die and spend eternity in hellfire and the wrath of God forever. You'll believe a lie. You'll believe it's Jesus. You'll believe it's the Spirit of God. You'll have all kinds of human emotion because human emotion is one of the ways that God has for us to communicate with Him. Read the Psalms. Read the Psalms. I love David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23. You read a few psalms over. God rained down fire on them and killed them, knock them down, grind them to powder, and kick them out in the sea. Whoop! Hallelujah. David's my kind of man. I love him. Those are called imprecatory psalms. That's the fancy word for them, where David calls down God's hand of judgment on his enemies. Amen. That's such a terrible thing. Well, Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. Amen. Amen. You don't sow with me, you scatter abroad. Ain't no middle ground. Well, I'm not doing anything. Well, you're sowing by default. You're scattering by default, I mean. Amen. You'll believe a lie. That's going to happen. The Lord's going to come back. The church is going to be taken out. You'll believe a lie if you're left behind. Your doom is sealed. You have no hope whatsoever of being saved. Because you would not receive a nail-pierced hand, a thorn-crowned brow, to be your Savior and your Lord in this lifetime. But the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Most time we misquote that. Today's the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, it doesn't say that. You get over and read it. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Right now. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, watch me. Right now is the time to come to Christ. Right now. Not 10 minutes from now, not at 12:30, 12:19. 12:19. Boom. Come right now. God didn't say to Isaiah, come 15 minutes from now and let's reason together, saith the Lord. Come now and let's reason together, saith the Lord. Now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. There's one way of salvation. It's not through me. It's not through any man here. It's not through that baptistry. It's not through giving. It is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Every hope that I have in this old sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. Billows are raging and toss me to and fro. There's peace beneath that flood. My hope is in the blood. That's it. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today for your salvation if you're unsaved. And that's the message we need to give to our unsaved loved ones as well. Amen. Amen. Miss Judy, if you'd come, please. We'll play a verse. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you, Lord, for a few minutes today as we try to give out, Lord, what we've looked at, Lord, and pray that you'd be glorified in all that's done. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. God, I pray that you would allow our folks who are here today, Lord, to hear these truths. Let them sink deep into their heart. Lord, as we've considered the last days, we've considered Antichrist, we considered the times of of how deceptive it will be. Lord, we hear what's going on. We see the world. We see the spirit of Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity already working. And Lord, this morning, we just pray for your spirit to move in hearts in this place. And God, that you would draw folks to you. And Lord, those who are listening by way of Facebook, if they're unsaved, that they would come to you. That they would bow at the foot of the cross and give their hearts to you. And Lord, that you'd help us to be ready in these days, Lord, to live as if you're coming back within the next 60 seconds. Who knows, Lord, maybe if someone saved this morning, it'd be the last soul. You call the church out and we all go home and be with the Lord. Father, be glorified in all that's done. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as Miss Judy plays. Maybe you need to come pray. Maybe you want to pray for someone. You're welcome to do that. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. You want to come pray. Talk to the Lord. We'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Know the Lord. Are you ready? God's not looking at your family. He's not looking at your heritage, your background. He's looking for the blood. Doesn't matter if your relatives were preachers or deacons. Doesn't matter if you've been a member of the church for a number of years. The only hope you have is in Jesus Christ, Him alone, for salvation. Pray the Lord helped you out. He gave you some help this morning. Amen. Word on anybody's heart before we dismiss.